There are people saying this is Project Fear. It's a litany of worries and concerns. Worst case scenario, Yellowhammer. How do you read it?
Well, I think the first thing to say in the face of the hysteria that's been whipped up is to point out that this is indeed a dated document which deals with what's described as worst case scenario. It's not the likely scenario. Indeed, those who wanted to whip up this hysteria, who insisted on the publication of this document, didn't seek the publication of any documentation which would present a likely scenario. They only were interested in the worst case scenario. And of course, the government minister who published it said it's already out of date and will be superseded shortly on the foot of the work that the government has done with an update as to what the situation actually is. So I think that's the first point to make.
Well, I noticed Hilary Benn's calling today for what the moderate case scenario would be.
Well, but he didn't call in the Commons, but the petition that gave rise to this didn't call for that. They were only interested in the hysterical version, and that's because they wanted to use it for those obvious anti-Brexit purposes. The second point I wanted to make is this tells us what would happen in the worst case scenario in some sectors in the case of no deal. What we've never seen, and what some don't want to see, is what would happen to Northern Ireland in the backstop situation where we put regulatory barriers between ourselves and our biggest market in GB, where most of the goods that populate our supermarket shelves come from, and yet the backstop wants to put regulatory restrictions on that. What would be the worst case scenario if that were to happen for Northern Ireland's economy? I fear it would be catastrophic, but of course that doesn't suit the narrative of trying to beat down Brexit and whip up fear about Brexit, so we that sort of thing never sees the light of day. So I think it's important to get these things into perspective and into context, and that is the wider context that hasn't been addressed.
And do you really think that the backstop could lead to cross-border trade stopping, agri-food being hit, job losses, road blockages, clashes at sea, protests in the street?
You said the backstop could lead to that.
Yes, I'm saying could you see a situation whereby we would be in a position where we could avoid all of that?
Well, the backstop would be disastrous for our economy because the backstop would cut us off from our most important single market, to which we sell 3/4 of our goods. It would prioritise the fact that we import £2 billion of goods from the Republic over the decimation of the fact that we import £11 billion of goods per annum from GB. And it would say, let's put barriers against the £11 billion in order to protect the £2 billion. Such madness. And yet that is what the backstop is about. Yes, the backstop would be devastating, I believe, for our economy, never mind its constitutional impact, which would be equally so. But this is a paper which deals with the worst-case scenario of a no-deal Brexit. I've already said it's out of date from what the government say, and it is indeed the worst-case scenario. Highly unlikely to happen in any of the sectors that have been covered. And indeed, I noticed that those who run the Dover to Calais port have dismissed some of the assertions which have been made and said the most difficult, the most busy port can cope far and above what's suggested in this paper.
Would it worry you if there was a no-deal Brexit?
I would prefer a decent deal, but it would have to be a fair deal. I do hold to the mantra that no deal is better than a bad deal. And to date, all we've had on offer is a bad deal because of the intransigence of Europe. And that's unlikely to change because no deal has been taken off the table. So there's no incentive for Europe to be anything but intransigent. So if we come to a no deal, we come to a no deal. You know, this is the fifth biggest economy in the world. We can stand on our own feet. I dismiss entirely the doom and gloom and hysteria that a poor United Kingdom it can't make its own way in the world. I believe we can. And yes, there'd be adjustments, I'm sure, required in a no deal. But it wouldn't be anything like the end of the world that this hysteria suggests.
Would those adjustments be more punitive, however, in Northern Ireland than other parts of the UK?
Well, I don't think necessarily so, because let's take the agri-food industry, for example. We hear, oh, there could be all sorts of crippling effects on our north-south agri-food industry. But the complementary side of that is that if there were barriers and tariffs to the agri-food industry on the island of Ireland, that equally and more devastatingly would affect the agri-food industry of the Republic, who sells most of their agri-food produce into GB. And if they were suddenly priced out of the market by reason of mutual tariffs, that creates a void in GB that Northern Ireland agri-food is ideally placed to fill, because we would then import in there tariff-free. So it's not just a one-sided coin. There are two sides to the difficulties created for agri-food, and one of them is the advantage that it opens up for Northern Ireland in GB.